From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, is character assassination the preferred tool of the deep state and fake news? We'll talk about it with the president of the Media Research Center, Brett Bozell, in just a moment. And Iran's Revolutionary Guard says they are awaiting orders to attack Israel. William Koenig with World Watch Daily is here with the details. Also, a pastor in Arkansas is ready to square off with the Freedom From Religion Foundation after they claimed he violated the Constitution by giving a devotion before a high school football camp. The pastor, Connor McKay, and his attorney, Mike Berry of First Liberty, join us later in the program. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, it's all there later archived at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter and want to keep up with me, it's at T. Perkins. All right. You've seen this, especially since the election of Donald Trump. The left has ramped up in its attempt to discredit conservatives, anyone standing for conservative values. I mean, look, you're going to see it with the nomination of this latest Supreme Court justice. We talked about it yesterday. They already had the press releases written. And some of them forgot to fill in the blanks in terms of who it was. Didn't matter who it was. They were going to be opposed to him. Well, those lawmakers in Congress, and you hear a lot of them here on the program, who are exposing the deep state are now being attacked by the deep state, and they're being aided by the media. Joining us now to talk about it is Brent Bozell, a great friend and a great American, president of the Media Research Center. He's an author and syndicated columnist as well. Brent, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you very much for having me, and I hope I don't start hacking my cough on your show.
That's all right. I'll send you over some of the general's cough syrup if you do,
and
it's got a strong kick to it.
I quit smoking years ago.
Let's talk about this, because I know you've been tracking this for years. It's not new, but it's become the weapon of choice by the deep state and by the media. And that is when someone gets a little too close to upsetting the status quo, they go after them in dredging up and creating stories to attack their character. I mean, we're going to see it with the president's selection for the Supreme Court. We've seen it in the past with other Supreme Court nominees, but we're actually seeing it happen right now with a great conservative leader in Congress, the founder of the Freedom Caucus, founding chairman, Jim Jordan. I mean, they're attacking him because in his role of government oversight and reform, he was really pulling back the curtain on the deep state, especially at the FBI.
I think it's not a new weapon that the left is employing. I think it's their final weapon. 3 years ago, in one of our books, Tim Graham and I addressed this, and we predicted this was going to happen because the left has shot all the quivers, the arrows in its quiver, and they have nothing to argue anymore. They can't debate us on social issue. The social issues are all breaking against them. You know, when you've got a paying capable at 20 weeks on abortion, they've lost that battle there. A prayer school and so many others. They can't debate the merits of their position. They can only attack our side, whether it's economics, foreign policy, across the board. They have lost the debate. So they have only one weapon left, which is the politics of character assassination. You're seeing that being employed on every front now. Notice how how debates are no longer over politics or policy or legislation. They are over values. And in the value effort, if a conservative suggests something, the left attaches an awful personal value to it, such as if if Kavanaugh is named to the Supreme Court, millions of people are going to lose their lives because they're going to lose their health insurance, i.e., it's going to be murder. This is the kind of vitriol that we have to put up with. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And, it's getting to the point, and folks have to be cognizant of this. You know, Tony, you have lived through it with the Family Research Council in ways that we haven't. But when a Shannon Bream wants to do her TV show on the steps of the Capitol and has to go rushing indoors for fear for her own safety, this is a reporter, do you understand where the radical militant left is? And it's only going to get worse. Now, to Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the attacks that are emerging on Jim Jordan. I just simply ask people to consider one little itty-bitty item. And it's the same thing that I said about Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. The attack on Jim Jordan is that 20 years ago, he turned the other way rather than do something about the sex abuse taking place. Let me repeat that, Tony. 20 years ago, where were his detractors? Where were his accusers for the past 20 years who knew about this? This thing stinks to high heaven, and it is absolutely that. Jim Jordan, and oh, by the way, who is being talked about as the next Speaker of the House? Oh, that's right, Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan would be such a threat to the deep state that they are planting these kinds of horrific personal character assassination attacks 20 years after the fact.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, folks, what's playing out here. But as Brent said, it's nothing new. It's become the, I think, preferred way because they can't debate. The merits of their positions are indefensible. But what we're talking about here, Jim Jordan, founding member, congressman from Ohio, founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, which has been really, Brent, they have been the watchdog for conservatives in Congress. Jim and his role on the Government Oversight Committee has been going after the deep state for actually going back into the Obama administration, demanding information from the Department of Justice. They've been stonewalling him. And now all of a sudden, you say they go back and the accusations, folks, surround when he was the assistant wrestling coach at Ohio State, that the team doctor molested or made passes at some of the wrestlers. Well, conveniently, the doctor is dead. Several of the players or the wrestlers are defending Jim Jordan, saying this didn't happen. But it's one of those things that now he's pulled away from his job in holding the Department of Justice and the other characters accountable. And so in part they're succeeding because he's been pulled off of mission. And people need to realize this is a tactic that is being used day in and day out here.
Yeah. The two accusers of Jim Jordan, well, all one has to do is look at their record and you know who they are. One of them is a convicted felon who I don't know how much time he served in prison. The other person has a multi-year vendetta against both Ohio State University and the Jordan family, where he has tried one lawsuit after another. He's gotten nowhere with them. He's obviously a very bitter man. And again, why did it take him 20 years to suddenly be upset?
And of course, Jim Jordan denies the claims that he ever knew anything about this. And folks, I'll just tell you, you've heard Jim on the program many, many times. I know him well since almost day one that he came to Washington, D.C. And he is a strong believer, a man of deep faith, and a man of great character.
He's also a championship wrestler. And given his moral convictions, I've got to think he would have beaten the hell out of that person if he'd known about it.
Yeah. Well, to your point about him being a championship wrestler, he also has been taking on the forces of the deep state here, and he will not back off. And I said, this is their way of taking him out. How do folks deal with this? Because, you know, they see this kind of stuff in the media. Of course, the media, we actually got calls here where the CNN was snooping around. I understand he put out a tweet as well about how they've called all his past interns and people that worked with him trying to find something. I mean, the media is aiding the deep state in these attempts to assassinate the character of conservatives. What do people need to do about that?
I think the first people need to understand state. They are the mouthpieces for the deep state. They are the deep state. Second, the public needs to understand that this is something that we need to expect at every turn. Remember, go back to the Clarence Thomas. I was just thinking about this. Go back to the Clarence Thomas nomination in 1991, where they wanted to know what his position was on abortion. And he said he'd never taken a public position on abortion. And the left took out ads all over the country with an 800 number. Call if Clarence Thomas has ever talked to you about abortion. This is the degree to which they will try to undermine somebody. So just understand, if you are a conservative, if you are an evangelical, when one of ours is attacked, just listen to the attack and you'll see its character assassination. You'll never see a debate on the issues. They can't debate Jim Jordan, but they can destroy him.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that sends a message to others in Congress.
He was the founder of the Freedom Caucus. He's the heart and soul. Well, now he and Mark Meadows are the heart and soul. You take them out, and that just takes that kneecaps the entire conservative base in the House.
Yeah, and it gives the deep state free run because the Congress and that oversight capacity is one of the major factors that keep them in check. Brent Bozell, thanks so much for joining us today. As always, great to talk with you and appreciate all the great work that you do at the Media Research Center. Great group of folks over there.
Likewise, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Brent Bozell, president of the Media Research Center. And normally start with some, you know, hard news. This actually is hard news. Because this is playing out. It's been playing out for the last week. And I wanted to address this from the standpoint of you have to be very careful what you believe in terms of what you're hearing from the fake news. You know, Donald Trump took on the news, called them fake news. That has stuck. I think we've got to be aggressive in taking on the left and exposing their tactics. The president did as a candidate, successful at it. Brent mentioned Clarence Thomas when he was in his confirmation hearing. He took on the left. Go back and look at it. I mean, he took them on. Jim Jordan's been taken on, and so what they're trying to do is they're trying to attack his character. I'm telling you, I know Jim Jordan. He is a solid man, deep faith, and he is doing a great job in exposing what's happening here in Washington, D.C., and that is why he is a target. You need to pray for him, but you need to support him. And if you live in Ohio, you need to speak out vocally on his behalf. You got to understand what's at stake here. And if we don't rally around those guys that we know, guys and gals that we know, and we know they're standing for the right thing, if we don't defend those type of leaders, we're not going to get any more in the future. People are going to back away from this because it's become nasty, dirty, and the left is intent on shutting down the opposition. All right, folks, when we come back, the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, says they're poised to attack Israel. Are they? Bill Koenig joins us next. No problem.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is @TPerkins. All right, Israeli media this week has highlighted statements by top Iranian Revolutionary Guard commanders that suggest further open hostilities between Israel, Syria, and Iranian forces could break out at any moment as the Revolutionary Guard vowed to, quote, break Israel's presence, especially along the Golan Heights region. Joining us now is Bill Koenig with the World Watch Daily. He's been tracking this movement. Bill, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you.
All right, what do we know? Is this just more saber rattling, or are we moving to a point where we could actually see open hostilities between Iran and Israel?
Yeah, we're definitely moving there, Tony. I think what we've been watching real closely the last 6 to 7 weeks is the prediction by think tanks here in D.C. and people there in Israel that once Assad was finished with his work there in Damascus, that he was going to start working toward the southern border, southwest border of Syria, getting close to the Golan Heights. And that's exactly what they've done. We've been watching it so closely, and it's played out exactly as we thought it would. What they've done is this Daraa area, they've created a humanitarian disaster. And I might add, this is Russian and Syrian jets that attacked. And Israel was under the understanding that Russia was not going to get involved with troops, the United States as well. But they came in with heavy air power and created a 200,000-plus refugee problem that both Jordan and Israel are saying, we can't help you any longer. Our borders are closed. So it's a very significant issue.
Now, we have a meeting that's going to be taking place between Benjamin Netanyahu and Vladimir with Putin.
Yes.
Is this intensifying the strain here in this region?
It is. This is the third meeting, Tony, in the last 6 months between Netanyahu and Putin. And they have had their meeting, and what was interesting, a couple days before the Putin-Netanyahu meeting, members of the Russian high-level staff, foreign ministry, was over in Israel meeting with Netanyahu and some of his people saying, you know, this isn't, you know, trying to basically hold them off, because Netanyahu is at a point that he's going to have to make a decision on what to do with Iran inside of Syria. And they continue to develop weapons, continue to bring weapons in. They've got 11 different size military facilities inside Syria, which Israel's hit quite a few of these before, but they continue to re-fortify these. And, you know, these Iranians are very formidable. They've got a plan. They're strategic thinkers, and even some of my Sunni Arab friends in the Middle East say they're three-dimensional thinkers. I mean, they're very, very smart, and, of course, Israel as well. So, you know, being the size of Israel, Netanyahu and his defense ministry is going to have to take this threat even more serious. Fortunately, the United States, through the Trump administration, is working in close step with Netanyahu and Israel, but obviously, you know, Netanyahu would like to see Iran leave Syria. Trump is going to talk to Putin about that next week. But reality is Iran has 30-plus years invested, and they aren't going to leave. And at some point, we're going to get to a war. And Israel's strength in the past, Tony, is preemptive strikes, hitting first. And they're going to have to make a decision what their red line is before they do something with Iran. But Iran is going to be a problem for a long time, not only for Syria, but also for the United States in dealing with the Sunni Arab coalition that they're developing.
Well, Bill, I mean, people are so accustomed to that there's conflict in the Middle East and that region of the world. Would put that in perspective for us. Is this just more conflict, or are we really reaching a point where this is going to boil over?
Yeah, I think we're at a serious point now, Tony. I mean, there's been saber rattling for a long time during George W. Bush's time in office, Obama's time in office. But what we have now here with the Trump administration is, I like to call it a dream team. We have five people that fully understand the threat of Iran to the Middle East. They're all strong leaders, Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, General Mattis, John Bolton. You know, Nikki Haley's doing a phenomenal job there at the UN, and then President Trump. I mean, they understand fully what the issue is, fully what the problem is, and that's why President Trump said, I'm not happy with this nuclear deal with Iran. We don't want them to develop missiles and weapons of mass destruction. We must do something. We can't trust them. And fortunately, Israeli Mossad was able to come out with a lot of material about Iran's nuclear development program, which they had all admitted didn't exist prior to the agreement they signed in 2015.
So is Iran, are their actions, are they driving Israel and Russia into a relationship?
Well, that relationship is interesting because Ariel Sharon is the one that really promoted an important a relationship between Israel and Russia. Olmert didn't do much, but Netanyahu's kind of picked up that ball and ran with it. But unfortunately, there's been some double talk. Putin says he's going to do one thing, and they don't completely do it. There's a trust factor here, and you know, this is something that a lot of us that watch this region very closely, we're very concerned about you know, Russia not doing what they say they're going to do with Netanyahu. And to a certain extent, that's what happened just recently on the southern border of Syria and close to Israel. And so they are not to be trusted. Fortunately, we have an administration that's very close with Israel. The level of cooperation between the U.S. administration and Israel, and including at the Defense Department, is the best it's ever been, Tony. So that's positive. But this is going to be a very interesting situation to watch going into the fall and winter with the Trump administration.
All the more reason to be praying.
Yeah,
Bill Koenig, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights on the region.
Thank you, Tony.
To find out more about Bill, he's written a number of great books, by the way. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, coming up next, an Arkansas pastor is being accused by an atheist group for violating the Constitution for speaking at a high school football camp. We'll talk with the pastor, Connor McKay, and First Liberty attorney Mike Berry when we return. Don't go away.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, last month, Pastor Connor McKay was invited to speak at a football camp at Waldron High School in Arkansas about teamwork and leadership, as well as to encourage young players. He's a former football player there, graduated from high school there, and now he's pastoring. Well, the message was inspiring, encouraging, and I think the local paper picked it up, wrote something about it. Nice. It's a nice paper, apparently. But then the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the atheist out of Wisconsin, is accusing the pastor of proselytizing players and violating the Constitution. He's being represented by First Liberty, our friends over there, Mike Berry, and Mike joins us now. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
And I think, do we have the pastor? Do we have Pastor McKay? Okay, we don't have him yet. I'm trying to connect with him. Mike, I mean, this is part of out of their playbook is that they're trolling these small towns to try to find small schools, school boards, city councils that really don't have many resources, and they drop these letters on them, threatening them, saying they violated the Constitution, hoping they will run from religion and allowing the students and others in the community to express their faith. What do you make of this case here? I mean, do they have a leg to stand on?
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is just more of the same that we see year after year from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They send hundreds, possibly thousands of these letters to cities, towns, school districts, et cetera, across the country, just trying to intimidate them, right? Trying to get them to react out of fear and to capitulate and do what the FFRF wants. And fortunately, you know, in this case, they picked on the wrong town and the wrong person with Pastor McKay, who, you know, are not willing to back down.
And what we actually find, Mike, is when you have a school board, a coach, a city council that's willing to stand up to these bullies, which is what they are, they're bullies, when you stand up to them, you win. Because most of the time, they just go away, and if they do go to court, which is rare because they don't have much of a legal foundation, they lose. And so we have pretty strong First Amendment freedoms in this country, and the courts still recognize that. It just takes people to stand up and be willing to defend them.
That's exactly right. That is literally all it takes, is for somebody to be willing to stand, whether it's a school district, whether it's in this case, you know, Connor McKay saying, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right to me. You know, I may not be a constitutional lawyer, but I'm calling my friends at First Liberty Institute who are constitutional lawyers and religious liberty experts. And I told them, I said, no, you're exactly right. First of all, you know, as a private citizen, Connor, you absolutely have the right to go to a football camp and give a motivational speech. And the fact that he happens to be a pastor, right, that's the background and perspective that he comes from, does not mean that, number one, he needs to be banned from talking to football players, or number two, that he has to somehow censor himself. You know, and that's what the FFRF wants to do. So if you think about it, what they're really doing is they're trying to impute the fact that he happens to be a pastor, is his vocation, if you will. And they're saying, well, the fact that he's a pastor means he is, you know, he's not able to talk to kids in a public school in that kind of setting. And that's just blatant anti-religious hostility. That's not what our Constitution stands for. And, you know, like we've been saying, I'm so grateful that we're finally starting to see, you know, the government officials, school district superintendents, et cetera, kind of standing up and saying enough is enough. You know, you're not pushing us around anymore.
Because the logical outcome of this, what the Freedom From Religion Foundation wants, is that people of faith would be barred from the door of public service or public engagement. I mean, you would have to literally either leave your faith at the door or you wouldn't be able to enter in.
That's right, and this is what they've been doing. It's actually, I mean, it's very clever. I'll give them credit for that, but it's kind of insidious because what they'll do is, let's say for hypothetically they got Waldron schools to back down and to give in to what they want. Well, the very next letter they send, guess what they're going to cite to? They're going to say, hey, your friends over in Waldron, Arkansas, they did the right thing. They did what we told them to do, and look, they didn't get sued for it. See how smart they are? Why don't you guys be like them and follow what they did? They'll tell you, you know, that you need to just do what the FFRF says, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how it begins, and it's this – you know, what they seek to do is win lots of these little battles without ever having to fire a single shot, so to speak. And
right, because
for years, they were successful.
Right, because we lack the courage to stand. And that's what I'm encouraged about, is that increasingly there are men and women of faith that have the courage to stand up. And I think it's way past time to stand. And the good thing about it, when people do stand, courage is contagious. And others will be challenged and encouraged to stand. We have Pastor McKay, so we're going to, Mike, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and we're going to come back after the break, and Pastor Connor McKay is going to join us here. So, folks, don't go away. We're going to come back with more Washington Watch, and then we're going to be taking your phone calls as well. Pastor Connor McKay and our good friend Mike Berry at First Liberty will stay with us. I hope you will as well. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Are you ready to vote? Do you know the candidates and their platforms? There are important races happening for the Senate, the House, and many state and local primaries. Determining the right candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin and political rhetoric. Each elected official is given a platform to make a difference, and he or she will either be part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the dignity of human life. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with our 2018 Voter Guide. Go to frcaction.org/voterguide to view the guide, election dates, and so much more. It's important to be informed when you enter the voting booth. This is your time to be a part of the solution for America. So, don't be silent. Be sure to vote. Again, that's frcaction.org/voterguide.
Have you ever had doubts about your freedom to believe? All of us want to be free, especially when it comes to practicing our faith, which is so fundamental to who we are. In America, we tend to take religious freedom for granted, but millions of people around the world aren't so blessed. When basic freedoms are denied to us, the natural human reaction is one of anger. It is no surprise, then, that in countries where religious freedom is suppressed, violence soon follows. Today, we often see this violence spill into other countries in the form of terrorism. This is why religious freedom and national security go hand in hand. As religious freedom is cultivated worldwide, and as security and economic development occur along with it, the United States' national security interests are advanced. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/national security. That's frc.org/national security.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, on the line with me, Mike Berry, First Liberty, and Pastor Connor McKay. Pastor McKay, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Now, Connor, I understand you are you're a graduate of Waldron High School. You've grown up the community, been there, part of the football team. I understand going back to the sixth grade, you used to stand on the sideline. So it seems like it would be a natural for them to reach out to you to encourage the students. Were you surprised when you were accused of violating the Constitution by sharing a message of encouragement with the football players?
Yes, sir. I was very surprised. As a matter of fact, upon hearing that that this was growing bigger and bigger and there was concern from this group from Wisconsin, actually concerned me. Not only was I surprised, but I was a little bit concerned that I might have done something wrong. Of course, I was assured by many that I hadn't done anything wrong by coming and sharing the message of teamwork and the importance of working together with your team. So, yes, I was definitely surprised.
Now, Mike, just so people know, we're talking about Pastor McKay is he's not an employee of the school. He's a pastor in the local community, associate pastor. A pastor cannot violate the separation of church and state. I mean, a private citizen can't do that.
That's exactly right. You know, this is a different issue for a different, a different Washington Watch. But man, the level of kind of lack of civics knowledge in this country, basic civics knowledge and constitutional knowledge, I guess knows no bounds. Because just like you said, a private citizen cannot violate Well, first, let's be clear. The separation of church and state does not exist in the Constitution.
Right.
But as a concept, right, or as an idea that has been accepted by our courts to a certain degree, a private citizen cannot violate that principle or idea. And if we want to talk about actual constitutional doctrine, the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, the Constitution clearly says Congress shall create no law, right? So that applies to the government. And Connor McKay is not the government. He's not even an employee of the government. So clearly he cannot violate the First Amendment, somebody's First Amendment rights.
Now, Connor, I understand you played football on this team. Is that correct when you were in high school?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What position did you play?
As a matter of fact, I was the field goal kicker.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that you are not backing down here, that you're not going to be intimidated by these bullies that want to say that you can't do this, which is why First Liberty is working for you. And what kind of support have you gotten in the community?
Well, I can put it like this, for lack of better words. I have gotten buckets and buckets of support, and you're correct. I do not plan to back down in any way. I could understand if I had violated some law. I would take responsibility for that. However, I have not. I have not violated any laws. Therefore, I'll stand for what's right. And this community and even the state of Arkansas has stood behind me, and Christians all over the United States and just the general public who wants to stand for what's right. There's nothing wrong with simply going to give an encouraging speech to the high school football team of our local community, whether if I'm a pastor or not. There's nothing wrong there. So, no, we're going to stand on what's right and set a precedent for others to understand that they can stand up for what's right as well.
And I applaud you for that.
Tony, I just want to make real clear, too. Obviously, First Liberty represents Connor. We don't represent the school district. But my understanding and I'm very encouraged that it sounds like the school district also is not willing to back down, that they also understand, the significance of not giving in to these bullies and what that means. And I'm very encouraged to hear that, and I hope that that's true and that the school district does not back down.
Well, Pastor Connor McKay, I want to applaud you for standing up as a young pastor, and I hope that your courage will be contagious and other pastors will be bold and stand and exercise their First Amendment freedoms to share encouraging and inspiring words with those in their community. So thanks so much for your stand, and thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It was an honor to be here.
Thanks,
right,
for
Mike,
having
as well. Always great to talk with our friends over at First Liberty. You guys do a great, great job.
Thank you.
Folks, check it out. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and check out First Liberty's site. They really do. These groups are so important because they come alongside and they defend those who are exercising their First Amendment freedoms. Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Going to spend a little bit of time on the phone. Maybe you've seen something like in your community. And I know that this I know for a fact that many schools are reaching out, and because even in good school districts, the kids have so many issues. And I'm going to stick with the football players, okay? They come from troubled homes. They have issues. We live in a culture that is, corrupted in so many different ways, and so they have issues. And so coaches trying to help them, obviously wanting to win football games in this case, but also trying to help their players. And I've got my best friend in high school. He and I played football together. He was one of the winningest high school football coaches. He just retired a year ago, Al Trimble in Oklahoma. And I've talked to him many, many times through the years. And he took a great interest in his players, and not just their sports ability, but their academic well-being as well as their emotional well-being. And he invested a lot in these kids, and coaches do that. And so they'll reach out to people in the community, oftentimes pastors, to come in and give an inspiring word, to talk with the players. Folks, pastors, people of faith should not be barred from the door simply because they have a faith. and they're willing to share it. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kansas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, your guest was talking about the separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, and of course he's correct. It grew out of a case in 1947, Everson versus Board of Education. I think that case, we need to look at it. I think it's as wrong-headed as Roe v. Wade, and it is impossible to put the country back together properly unless we get back away from that. The First Amendment not only doesn't apply to private citizens, the First Amendment does not apply to anyone except Congress. The U.S. Congress. No locality and no state is covered under that.
Stephen, you have touched on why the left is unhinged beginning with the retirement of Justice Kennedy and now the president appointing or nominating a replacement, Judge Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh. That has them going nuts because the president pledged, put together a list of 25 constitutionalists, those who are strict constructionists that look at the letter of the law when it comes to the Constitution. And many of these cases could be revisited. And that's what's driving them crazy. You're absolutely right. You go back to the 1962 with school reading of the Bible in 63, prayer,
the cases about
those things being removed from our schools.
Yeah, the cases about public sale,
it's
pornography,
just,
and flag burning, all kinds of things. And the point is that the separation of church and state, as they have conceived of it, is impossible. It's not that they're wrong about the specifics. It's not possible to have that kind of separation. What they have done is install secular humanism and pretend like that's not a belief system.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what they're talking about when they're talking about separation of church and state is in essence is the separation of God from government. That there can be nothing that is connected to religious values or truth or principles can find its way into government. So simply they want to build a wall separating the influence of God from government, and you cannot do that unless you exclude people of faith from government, and that is what they're trying to do with that. Stephen, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Greg in Arkansas. Greg, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. One thing I was
Greg, go
talk
ahead.
About is how, yes, sir. I was going to talk about how Christians need to have a little backbone. You know, the pastor has shown us that, but it amazes me that in our small community in Northwest Arkansas, when we have the pro-life life chain in October, how very few Christians will stand with us, and how I have talked to very Christian people by the looks of them and what have you, and they absolutely refuse to get involved. And it's like, it just absolutely amazes me when we all have to stand up for the truth. The pastor's proven that. And when we don't...
You are absolutely...
When we're silent...
When we are silent, we are condoning what is taking place. And so unless we stand up and we speak, and in Ephesians 4, we're to speak the truth, speak it in love, but we're to speak the truth all the same. And we cannot be silent. If we are silent, we acquiesce to those who want to take away our freedoms and our rights. And Greg, you're right. When you get pastors...
There are young people. You know, there are young people right now in a crisis pregnancy that need to know that there's an outlet. And guess what? Those babies would be welcome in my family, in your family, in someone's family. And they would be raised healthy and happy and as the lovers of the Lord.
Yeah, and there are those that do not want them to know that information. And so they're, by intimidation, they're keeping a lot of people silent. It's what was happening out in California with these mandated requirements that crisis pregnancy centers promote abortion. They don't want the truth to be out there. Greg, thanks so much for joining us here on Washington Watch. Appreciate you listening. If we don't speak up, speak the truth, who's going to do it? And you're, is Pastor McKay, and by the way, he's young. I think he's about 21 years old. Okay, so he's a young guy, and he is he's saying, look, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak, and I'm not going to be silenced. I'm not going to be bullied into silence. And as I said, courage breeds courage. We need to stand up and speak. 866-372-7234. The Freedom From Religion Foundation targets these small communities. And so if you live in a small rural community in the South primarily, that's who they're trolling for, because they're looking for those institutions, schools, counties that don't have a lot of money, and they threaten them with a lawsuit, and you know it's going to cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so many of them just capitulate. They get the letter, not even a lawsuit, just a letter telling them that they need to cease and desist. And it sounds very official and formal and sounds as if they know what they're talking about. Well, they don't. And so if that happens, you need to reach out, like Pastor McKay did, to one of these groups that defend religious liberty. First Liberty, Liberty Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, Beckett Foundation. There's so many different ones that are out there. I'd say there's regional ones, then there's national ones, but they're there, and they are willing and ready to help. They're there to defend the First Amendment. And as we were talking about with Mike Berry, we can't win unless there are those that are willing to stand up. But when we do stand up, we win. You say, well, it's uncomfortable. I mean, people are going to say, I don't like the conflict. You know what? Most people that are in these positions don't like the conflict. I don't like the conflict that comes with being in public policy and in public life. I, quite frankly, don't like it at all. But I have such a love for the truth and for this country that I can't be silent. I can't sit on the sidelines and let deception and deceit prevail. If we allow those that want to silence the truth to have their way, what will we leave our children and grandchildren? What kind of country will we live in? Folks, let's stand up. Let's defend these fundamental freedoms and inspire others to do the same. You say, well, I'm just not that type. Paul said that I have found God's grace to be sufficient to meet my needs. You may say, I could never do that. Well, you don't know until you're in that position. But if you will stand, and as the Lord told Joshua as he was going into the promised land, be strong and courageous and do not fear. Good advice for even the 21st century. Folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.